The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
No more diapers, not for me. I go on the potty. P-O-T-T-Y, 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 I go on the potty. Nice. This is a song my two-year-old Juniper can sing, all from this book. She knows the words, she knows the beat, she knows the song forwards and back, but does she go on the potty like she's supposed to? Well, it's hard to say. Thankfully, she's getting better, but for those first few weeks of potty training, it was a bit of a nightmare. Our cute little two-year-old would smile. She would sing this song as we were cleaning up accident after accident. She knew the right information, but it had not made any lasting change. In fact, when you asked her, Juniper, where do you go to the potty? She'd answer, the bathroom, with a great big smile. And all I could think of was, well, at least I'll get a sermon illustration out of this whole mess. See, it's one thing to know the right information. It's a whole other thing to let that change you. Change. Change requires something more than just mere knowledge. Change requires depth. Change requires renewal. And renewal goes after something deeper, more than just mere head knowledge. See, the mission statement of our church is as following. We exist to worship God, make disciples, plant churches, and spur gospel renewal everywhere. Gospel renewal. Gospel renewal is what I want to talk to you about today, and not just today, but for the next 3 weeks. Last week, we finished our Advent series, and starting January 19th, we'll begin a preaching series through the book of Daniel that will take us all the way to Easter. And as we finish out the Christmas season, which remember, by the way, is 12 days, not just one day, we wanted to take a few weeks to talk about something core and vital to the mission of our church, renewal. Now, what is renewal? Tim Keller puts it like this: gospel renewal is a life-changing recovery of the gospel. Personal gospel renewal means the gospel doctrines of sin and grace are actually experienced, not just known intellectually. See, the Christian faith is something to be experienced, not just known intellectually. It's the difference between knowing about potty training versus experiencing the freedom of living that out. And renewal is something that God wants for you day by day. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Renewal day by day. That's what I want to call this series. That's what I believe God wants for you this year. Renewal day by day. That's the vision I want you to have for your life this year. See, renewal is not just a once a year thing. It's not when you just set goals at the beginning of the year or go on a retreat or something like that. Renewal is something God wants to bring to your life day by day. So let me ask you, where do you need spiritual renewal? Where has your heart grown cold? Where has your love for God waned? Where has zeal for discipleship suffered? I mean, I need renewal in my life. I tend toward apathy and just going through the motions. And once I've figured out a routine that works for me, I can just drift into coasting. And that can bleed. It does bleed into my walk with God. And that stifles renewal. But experiencing day-by-day renewal requires certain things. It just doesn't happen. You will not drift into renewal day-by-day. You will drift into apathy if you aren't intentional. But see, renewal requires some stuff. And that's what this short three-week series is all about, what day-by-day renewal requires. For this week, I want to talk about how renewal requires receiving. For this morning, we're going to look at that passage we just heard read. And in this passage, I want to convince you that the renewal you need, the renewal you long for, the renewal that God wants to bring in your life day by day requires receiving. Renewal requires receiving. Not just knowing, not even just receiving the right information, but actually receiving the grace and work of God in your life that it begins to enliven you and change you day by day. And there's three things that this passage shows us that God wants us to receive. First, receive the love of the Father, receive the work of the Son, and third, receive the gift of the Spirit. So first, receive the love of the Father. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, it's important to remember who's writing this letter. The author of this letter is likely the Apostle John, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. And we know from church history that John wrote his gospel last, after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And additionally, by the time John wrote his gospel and the letters attributed to his name, John is in the latter years of his life. He's an old man now. He's seen a lot. John is an old, wise sage who's writing some of his last words. And see, this is vital. What John writes at the end of his life tells us all we need to know about what's important to him, and it astounds me what he focuses on. See, throughout his letter, John focuses and meditates on the love of the Father. And the fact that the God is love means that ultimate reality is not purposeless. It's not some purposeless cold state. See, what is ultimately real and true is that the God of the universe is an overflowing, eternal fountain of unceasing love. And that same unceasing, overflowing love from the God of the universe can renew your life. Later, John's going to write in verse 16, we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. If you were to back up the train to chapter 3, verse 1, we'd read this: see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. John writes with this exclamation, look, see, John is beyond excited and enamored by the love of God. John has reached a place in his maturity and his discipleship where he is utterly convinced the Father loves him. The love of the Father is not an abstract concept for John. The love of the Father is personal and real. It is sunk down deep into the recesses of John's soul. This is what has renewed John, and this is what can renew you. See, when someone has received the love of the Father, they live with this groundedness and settledness. They aren't swayed by the opinions of man. They know who they are and they know who they aren't. They aren't living for approval because the love of the Father is all the approval that they need. But how do you know? I mean, how do you know if you're truly living from a place of receiving the Father's love? And what does it look like when one isn't living from a place of receiving the Father's love and living in that security? Well, let me address that second question first. Here's just a few tangible markers, and these have been pulled from a couple resources we use often around here, the Gospel-Centered Life and Sonship. Here's just a few characteristics of those who tend to live with what we call an orphaned spirit, meaning one isn't receiving and living in the Father's love. Someone like this tends to be ungrateful, tends to compare, feels powerless to defeat sin, and kind of lives with this insecurity that kind of leaks out with this critical spirit and lacks a passion and prayer life for the gospel. But Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. God has more for his people." See, so here's a few markers of someone who is secure in receiving the Father's love. They're able to freely confess sin. They know that they're not perfect and that they're a work in progress, and so they're freely able to confess. And from that place, recognize that God is the one who truly satisfies. And so they're resting in Christ, and they're seeing not perfection, but more and more victory over sin. They're secure in who they are and who they're not. In prayer is a vital and repeated part of their daily life. They just keep coming to the Father because they know the Father loves them and hears them, and the Father wants to be with them. So let me ask you, what prevents you from truly receiving the renewing love of the Father? Will you let the Father love you into renewal? See, to the degree that you doubt the Father's love for you in Christ, renewal will be stunted. See, the Father's love is not cautious. The Father's love is not calculating like some risk-reward analysis. No, the Father's love is extravagant and unrestrained, the infinite God who is infinite love. And see, at the point of your deepest shame, the point of your deepest fear and regret, that is where the Father seeks to pour out his renewing love. Regardless of how you walked in this room, if you are in Christ, the Father delights in you and is running to embrace you with his love. But, hear me on this. Some of you can't receive the Father's love. It's not that you just have a hard time believing and experiencing the Father's love. For some of you in this room, the Father's love, yes, is for you, but it's not at work in you yet. So you can't actually move out of that orphan spirit. Why? Because the only way to receive the Father's love is to receive and embrace the work of the Son. Which leads to our second point. Receive the work of the Son. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, one of the reasons we don't experience the renewal that God has for us is because, I think, of our view of Christ. Here's what I mean. Many of us in this room probably have a sound doctrinal understanding of who Christ is. But many of us functionally have a domesticated, cheapened, little view of Christ and his work. We functionally live as if the work of Christ is not that powerful for my salvation and my forgiveness. See, what if your view of Jesus is just the faintest tip of the largest iceberg? The wise apostle John wants you to fully receive the work of the Son, Jesus Christ. But maybe you're thinking, but I already believed in Christ, maybe even years ago. Are you telling me I need to receive Christ again? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you are a Christian, it's important to remember who you were apart from Christ. I mean, you were not limping around with like some mild ankle sprain that you could just wrap up with a little bit of Jesus. No, you were dead. Like dead as in the bottom of the ocean, dead. And Christ personally, lovingly, intentionally chose you, rescued you, and breathed his very life into you. So now that the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And for those of you who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus and turned from sin, you are united with Christ. Like, I need you to hear this. A Christian is someone who has been united with the resurrected Christ. In other words, what's true of Jesus is true of you. His death has become your death. His life, your life. And all the saving benefits of Christ come to the Christian because they are united to Christ. Justification, sanctification, adoption, redemption, all those kinds of words come to you because you are united with Christ. And this is why the most common way Paul talks about the Christian is just a very short phrase. In Christ. Or in John's writings, he uses the language of abide or abiding, same thing. And for those of you who have received the work of Christ and his life and his death and his resurrection and ascension, you are united with Christ. And union with Christ is the truest thing about you. Yet you functionally, if you're anything like me, forget this in your day-to-day life. The truest thing about you is sometimes the thing you most easily forget. And you might know the right answer, but is the truth of that you are united with the resurrected Christ changing you, renewing you day by day? I mean, let's not live lives where we're functionally as if we're not united with Christ, apart from him, separated from him. John Calvin once wrote, "We must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless." So let me be clear. Not everyone in this room is united with Christ. To use Calvin's language, Christ still remains outside of you. Or to use the language of Scripture, Christ, or you are alienated from Christ. You're living as orphans. And let me say this, it's possible to know about Christ. It's possible even to know and be somewhat aware that you're a sinner and that you're in need. And it's possible even to know some good biblical truths. But at the same time, if you have not received and embraced the good news of the gospel and the work of Christ, you're still an orphan. You haven't fully turned from sin and placed your trust and faith in his finished work. See, if you actually haven't placed your faith in Christ and embraced him as Savior, you're not united with Christ, and Christ remains outside of you, and renewal is impossible. If that's you this morning, would you turn from your sin? Did you trust in Jesus? Turn from having to have it all figured out and thinking you have to be someone. Would you turn to Christ and receive the love of the Father and embrace the work of the Son? And for the Christian, it's only in the relaxed security of your union with Christ that the seeds of renewal can begin to grow. That God wants to renew your life day by day, and we must receive and apply the finished work of Christ daily, preaching the gospel to ourselves daily, reminding ourselves of what is the truest thing about us, that we are united with the resurrected Christ. You don't have to do anything. You simply receive. You have been united with Christ, and that is the truest thing about you. His death is your death. His life is your life. His victory is your victory. Dane Orland says it better than I can. You will not change until you get straight who Jesus is, particularly with regard to his surprising tenderness. And then spend your whole life going deeper into the gentleness of Jesus. The only alternative to the real Jesus is to get back on the treadmill of doing your best to follow and honor Jesus, but believing his mercy and grace to be a stockpile gradually depleted by your failures, and hoping to make it to death before the mountain of mercy runs out. Here is the teaching of the Bible. If you are in Christ, your sins cause that stockpile to grow all the more. Where sins abound, grace superabounds. It is in your pockets of deepest shame and regret that his heart dwells and won't leave. To paraphrase Dane Ortlund one more time, if you look to and receive the finished work of Jesus, everything else is footnotes. This leads to our third point. Receive the gift of the Spirit. To be renewed day by day requires that we receive the love of the Father, receive the work of the Son, and we must receive the gift of the Spirit. Take a look at 13. By this we know we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. So Jesus said before he was crucified and rose again that it would be better that he would go away. John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, Jesus' way of talking about the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Which is kind of crazy to think about. I mean, how many of us really believe that it's better that Jesus Christ is not with us in the flesh, and yet we still have the gift of the Spirit? But the Bible teaches that it is through the Holy Spirit that we are renewed. Without the Holy Spirit, renewal will not happen in your life. But as we receive the Spirit and abide and walk in step with the Spirit, you have the power to live a new kind of life. But functionally, this is hard. I mean, I feel this. I get this. It's hard to believe that the invisible personal presence of the Holy Spirit is really that powerful to bring renewal in my life and in your life day by day. It's hard to believe that. And see, remember, God knows that we are weak and needy. I mean, we can barely make it through a week, let alone a day, without faltering or failing. We've all been there. I mean, how many of you have ever said to yourself, I don't have what it takes to continue? I don't know if I have what it takes to be a good spouse. I don't know if I have what it takes to be a good parent. or a good friend or a good employee. I don't know if I have the strength to keep going. I don't have it within me. I mean, this renewal stuff sounds great, Aaron, but it seems like a lot. So how can you know that you will make it to that final day? It's not in your strength. It's not in your good works. It's not in your performance. It's through a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, what you need to know about the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit is really powerful. He's more powerful than that sin in your life, more powerful than that shortcoming, more powerful than that shame in your story. And it is through daily renewal in the gospel and daily empowerment by the Spirit that renewal can happen in your life. Elsewhere, in John chapter 3, verse 34, Jesus said that God gives the Holy Spirit without measure. Without measure. I mean, what a phrase. In other words, there isn't even a unit of measurement capable of describing the power of renewal that the Holy Spirit wants to bring in your life. God's Spirit is so great and so powerful, there's no adequate way to be able to even begin to describe it. See, there's this common cliche that goes something like this: God won't give you more than you can handle. To which I say, that's just a bunch of Christianese garbage couched in American self-sufficiency. The moment you think you can handle it, whatever it is the moment you have started trusting yourself to bring renewal rather than the Holy Spirit. See, friends, it's possible to be functionally unaware of that which you have access to. You're stuck, not because you don't have the resources you need, but because you're not relying on the resource you already have. If you are united with Christ, you have the Father's love. You have also the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the grave, the same Spirit who was at work at creation, and the same Spirit who empowered Jesus to live faithfully. If you are in Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't need a new app, a new routine, new whatever. Fine if you want to do those things, but to experience renewal, you have what you need, the Holy Spirit. But there's a part of you that doesn't believe this. Let's be real. Maybe you aren't experiencing day-by-day renewal because actually deep down, apathy, indifference, cold-heartedness is actually in your soul. You find it easier to give in to the cynicism of our age. You find yourself this morning functionally believing that change really isn't possible. And you're discounting the power of the Spirit. You find it easier just to get things done on your own strength. But what if God has more for you? And don't take my word for it. Take in the medicine of God's word. Let me just show you a few things the Spirit wants to do in your life. See, the Spirit of God helps God's people to be rooted in the Father's love and strengthened in the work of Christ. Take a look at what Paul says in Romans 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, the renewing work of the Holy Spirit is to assure the Christian of God's love for them. The love of God poured or shed abroad into your life. I mean, that's living with guaranteed security. You can face anything with that. In addition, the person marked by the power of the Spirit is a person marked by hope, not cynicism or despair. Look what Paul says in Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abounding in hope, that's a key marker of someone who's living in the power of the Spirit. And finally, someone who is receiving the gift of the Spirit and walking in step with the Spirit, one who's being renewed by the Spirit day by day, is experiencing fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I've heard it said before that the fruit of the Spirit is like Jesus's Myers-Briggs. These are the characteristics of Christ. And the person being renewed by the Spirit day by day is growing in these traits. See, if you're not receiving all that the Spirit has for you, you will drift into apathy and indifference. When you just go through the motions of the Christian life, it reveals an apathy. It reveals indifference in your soul. I mean, you can verbally profess all day long the beautiful truths of the gospel, but functionally live a cold, apathetic life. So you can live with the illusion that you're fully mature and don't need renewal, or you can live in the clarity that you tend to have parts of your life where you don't receive the renewal that God wants. And the only reason that the latter is life and life to the full is that through Jesus, you have access to a God who is infinitely generous. He wants to give more of himself, more of his love, more of his work, more of his power in your life day by day. But here's the thing. It's hard and next to impossible to receive if you are apathetic or indifferent toward God. If there's a semblance of, yeah, I've heard this before, or why are you telling me I need to receive the Spirit? I thought I already have the Spirit. Then perhaps you're in a spot where you're cold-hearted and indifferent toward the things of God. And apathy will destroy gospel renewal and stunt renewal in your life. But the person who would admit that they do, in fact, have at least some cold-heartedness, at least some indifference, that person who's willing to turn and humble themselves is in a posture, a prime posture, to receive all that the Father and the Son and the Spirit want to give. I mean, ultimately, what God's word is inviting each and every one of us to is a life marked by daily renewal in the power of the Spirit. Because deep down, if you are in Christ, I know you want to see the Spirit of God move in your life. See, here's what I know about you. I might not know how you are feeling as you came through these doors. I might not know the exact details of your life, but here's what I know about you if you are in Christ. You want to see God's Spirit move in power in your life and in the lives of people around you. I know you want to live a life empowered by God's Spirit, not just a life manufactured in your own effort. You want something deeper than just words on a page or lyrics to be sung that's just head knowledge. Deep down, the ache of your soul is deep renewal in the triune God. Deep calls out to deep. So, are you in a posture of receiving this morning? As we continue to worship, and as we prepare to come to the table, I want to invite you to receive all that God has for you. And so, if you're able, and if you're desiring to receive afresh the love of the Father, the work of the Son, and the gift of the Spirit, I want to invite you, as I pray, to simply just open up your hands. See, sometimes we simply need to do something with our physical bodies to help our souls get in the right posture. So as I pray, I just want to invite you to open up your hands as a way of physically saying, Father, Son, and Spirit, would you renew me this morning? So would you join me as we pray? So Father, Son, and Spirit, we recognize that you are full of infinite love and power. You are the author and sustainer of life. You alone are worthy to be worshiped and praised, yet we recognize that our devotion is often weak. God, as we confessed earlier, we confess again, we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We need renewal. And so, God, would you help me to see where I am cold and indifferent to your work? God, help me to see where I am apathetic. Help me to see where I'm just indifferent. And God, would you warm our hearts to your goodness and grace? Most merciful God, Father, Son, and Spirit, would you renew each of us this morning? Would you bring renewal to my life and to the life of this beautiful church? May you ignite a move in our midst, God, that can only be explained by your renewing power and presence. So God, in the deepest places of our souls, we long for more of you. Have your way amongst us. Bring renewal to our lives, we pray. In your name, amen.